Thank the Lord for a good warm place. We can look out and see the beauty even in the snow and the ice. It's nice to look out rather than being out there looking in. If you'd like to follow along with us, I'd like to look over into 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter. 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter. Let's just bow our heads before we begin. Our Father, as we come to thee this morning, we're thankful for the merits of Jesus' precious blood. The scripture tells us that it can wash us whiter than snow and make us clean and pure. And Father, we're so thankful for thy tender mercy to us this morning. We're thankful, Lord, that thou art concerned about each one of us individually. And we pray that thou will help us, Lord, that we might walk humbly and carefully with thee, we might have that fellowship that comes from heaven. Just speak to our hearts this morning, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Second Corinthians, the 7th chapter. Second Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you, for I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. But I rejoice not that, ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For behold, this selfsame thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for the cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore, we are comforted in your comfort, and yea, and exceedingly the more joyful we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed, but as we spake all things to you in truth, Even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, whilst he remembered the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling he received him. I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. Here we have one of the, if you want to put it this way, one of the old-fashioned conservative preachers that was not ashamed to preach the truth. Paul, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, preaching. And one of his letters to the church there at Corinth, he had just been very faithful in the chapter before and talking about unity, and as they worked together with him, and he went on down through, and he had already preached that message, if you want to put it that way, in verse 14 of chapter 6, 2 Corinthians, and he told them to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And he said, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them and be their God, and they shall be my people. And he told them to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. I like the old-fashioned, the old-time preaching. We hear people talking about the old-time religion. Well, it's not just something to talk about, but it's real. It's something that the way of salvation was planned by God. The foundations of the church were laid, and the way of God has proceeded as the work of on the cross was complete. And Jesus said, it is finished. And then time after time it's been proven in the hearts of men that the work has been finished, and the work of salvation is something that blossomed out, that bloomed out from their lives. And the fragrance of it went out, and the result of it was others were refreshed, and others came under the influence of the gospel, and God intervened when they were lost and without God. Now, as we start in this chapter, Paul says, he says, having therefore these promises, all these promises that he's told them beforehand, and now he says, with all these promises of God that will not fail, they're standing, you can stand upon the rock. And I like that little song. I was thinking about it. About, give me a foothold on the rock. A foothold on the rock. The billows round me roll. Let not their wild impetuous shock overwhelm my trembling soul. O thou that walkest on the waves. And we heard about that this morning in our Sunday school class. We were talking about that. Thou ruler of the sea, stretch forth thy mighty arm to save the soul that calls on thee. Give me a foothold on the rock, O Savior of the lost. The world and sin my struggles mock, and I am tempestuous. I strive to reach an anchoring place. My God, give me a stay. In other words, give me a place where I find a strong footing, as something that my feet can stand upon, and that I don't need to worry about the crumbling sands of time, but something that will stand me in good stead through this life and land me safely on the other shore. Give me a foothold on the rock. Extend to me thy hand of grace, lest I be cast away. Give me a foothold on the rock, till voices Yon the sea, like evening chimes of the clock, bid welcome home to me. Are we getting ready to go home? Are we standing on the solid rock? Are our eyes fixed upon the horizon over there, and the setting sun is going down, and we realize that others have gone on before us, and they're waiting for us over on the other side, and we're preparing to meet them in the skies? I tell you, the devil wants to stop you, but God is for you, and if he's for you, the devil can do nothing about it, as long as we keep our feet on the solid rock. The day of toil and watching o'er, the night of sorrow past, I stand upon the eternal shore and rest in peace at last. That will be peace like we don't know anything about it. Down here in this world, they talk about peace, peace when there is no peace. And just before great destruction, they still are talking about peace. But when we enter into that harbor of peace, I like that song, the harbor of rest. And we pull into that harbor of rest and latch up there, anchor our soul in the haven of rest. And walk in with the hand of the Lord through the promised land. What a day that will be. Well, there's a proper way of preparing. And we must be, by the grace of God, like the scripture says, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And then I believe that we see a little bit of the humanity of God's saints and one of God's faithful ministers as he preached the gospel. When in verse 4, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. This is something that it's hard to understand, that right in the midst of a dry and a thirsty land, right in the midst of worldliness and godliness and compromise all around us, that we can stand the test and stem the tide and be ready to, like the one that ran and jumped over the hedge the scripture speaks about, we can be ready to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. We can be faithful to God. And Paul says here, I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. This next verse is one that especially got my attention. I remember preaching one time in Romania, and an interpreter was preaching. I was trying to think of his name. I think it was, can't think right now. But he told me afterwards, he said, your message was so short, and how did he say it? It's three different words. But he said, it made me feel better when he said, and so deep. I can't think of the first two words. He was the one that translated there. And I had preached on that scripture about the man calling, come over to Macedonia and help us. And Clay's were just getting ready to leave there. And the little group was sorrowing. They didn't really want them to go. And yet I was saying, you know, they have given to help you. And now you, it's your privilege to be able to share them with and the gospel with wherever they're going. And like the man said, to come over into Macedonia and help us. There's needs out there, and sometimes we have to, the Lord pulls us sort of up by the roots and takes us and plants us over here at another place. We'd just sort of like to be all right here together and not have any of our family go anyplace, just keep them all right close around us. That's just human. But there's a harvest field out there for each one of us to labor in and to work in the harvest of the Lord. And Paul was saying here, for when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. Did you ever feel like that you're just covered up? And I told Brother Joe one time that this board meeting, that board meeting, and this taking place and that taking place, and it seemed like a lot of the evenings were filled up. And I said, I guess you just, you know, you think the older you get, you sort of start retiring, but it didn't seem like that was the way it was working. It seemed like that it was continually more and more until finally you just collapse. But the Lord is faithful. Paul said, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, and without were fightings, within were fears. In the flesh, sometimes we draw back from the confrontation, from the awful fight against the powers of darkness. And you know as well as I do that it's real, that we're fighting against the forces of darkness and the powers of darkness. Without the help of God, there wouldn't be any of us make it. But with His help, every one of us can make it safely into that haven of rest. He says, without our fightings, within our fears, nevertheless. And this, I like those junction words, if you want to put it that way. You know, this is the situation. We're in a rough situation. We're in a storm. We're in a fight. But God intervened. Nevertheless, God, that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. And I don't believe there's anything that encourages a real saint of God more than to see that his labors are bearing fruit. And I think one of the first places that we can look is in our, among our own family, our own home. If we can see one of our loved ones that maybe was struggling, but the Lord is helping them, the Lord is defeating the devil, they're getting victory. We see our children taking the way with the Lord. And grandfathers, seeing your grandchildren take the way with the Lord and hate the things of the devil, hate the things of the world, turn their back on sin and all that goes with it, and go all the way through with God. Have nothing to do with the worldly, fleshly things of this old world, but stand in the old paths and ask for the good way, and then you're going to find, the scripture says, rest for your soul. And it encouraged him. Titus was a means of encouraging Paul here. And then he preached the gospel again. He was saying to them, he rejoiced not that they were made sorrow. And you know, when we talk to someone about a need or something that is troubling them, there's easy ways out. There's easy ways of just telling them that, you know, they can do this, they can do that. And, you know, we know what the scripture says, but there's easy ways out. But the way home is the narrow way. And it's the ways, the old paths that lead home. And this scripture here says, godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. And people can accumulate things. They can accumulate technology. They can accumulate all kinds of gimmicks that they can keep themselves enticed with. And it will not satisfy the soul. But that satisfying portion, if you can steal away and get along with the Lord and have fellowship with God, you have found the portion that will satisfy your soul on this world, in this world, and in the world to come. And it comes by humbling ourselves before God in godly sorrow. And then in verse 11 he says, for behold this selfsame thing, that we sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. And how that changes a person. I remember when We went back out to Pennsylvania, and one of my wife's sisters had really seemed to be, well, she wanted everything to be just proper, just so, and everything with all its little frills and that type of thing, and yeah, professing everything, and lots of question marks. But God had intervened and got a hold of her. And I remember as she was telling and as she was weeping and she was crying and things had changed and she saw her need. And God did what somebody else can't do. You know, we can do our very best to reach out to someone. But if they harden their heart, the scripture says the one that hardens their heart, it's going to come to the place that they're going to be destroyed, and that without remedy. If you harden your heart and callous your heart to the dealings of the Holy Spirit, finally there will come a place when you have grieved the Holy Spirit and great destruction comes in that life. But what a difference it made as she was a different girl. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget when one of my sisters, the very same thing happened to her. She went to the very bottom, and she really changed. And you know what? She started cleaning house in the old-fashioned way. When you really become, you hit the bottom, and you get your feet upon the rock, and you get a foothold on the rock, you don't want anything between you and the Savior. And anything that is coming between you and the Savior, you want it out of the way, no matter what it takes. And she went to her closet, and she started then pitching dresses, things that she knew was not right. She started pitching them, getting rid of them. She was cleaning house. Sometimes we say, well, that's not necessary, is it? Well, it depends. If you want to have nothing between you and the Savior, you want your feet on solid rock, then if there's anything that grieves the Lord, you want it out of the way, no matter what. She had all kinds of little fancy things on her dresser, things that she felt like that would grieve the Lord. And it is amazing. A bunch of stuff went in the wastebasket. She was cleaning house. She was cleaning house. Her parents had tried to show her the right way. And she would do what was wrong. She would roll her skirts up. She wore skirts and blouses. She didn't want her dresses to be too long. All of a sudden, that was done away with, and she confessed what she'd been doing. She repented of those things, and she really got right with the Lord. And then, I think, like what Paul was saying to these people, he said, "For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness in it wrought in you, yea, what clearing of yourself, want everything clear, nothing between my soul and the Savior. What revenge in all things ye have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter." And Paul was rejoicing, not that he made him sorry, but that they sorrowed after a godly sort to repentance, to be clear between the soul, their soul and the Lord. And if you are going through desperate struggles as you try to help your children, you try to help the ones that you need, the devil's going to fight you his very best. He's going to try to keep you from helping someone else. But don't give up courage. Continue to press your case before the throne of grace. Continue to pray for them, but continue to speak to them. And God is faithful as we pray for those that we're concerned about. As we live our lives, we face the awful storms that the enemy would like to throw at us. But if we're faithful until death, we're coming to the time when we too can sail into the haven of rest on that old ship of Zion and make it safely home to heaven.